looking to blaze the trail and build or expand your business empire? Welcome to She's Building Her Empire, a place of motivation, inspiration, and innovative business strategies to help increase your income and, more importantly, your impact. Follow your purpose while building your empire with your host and business coach, Stacey Tuschel. Hey there, thanks for joining. You are listening to She's Building Her Empire. I'm your host, Stacey Tuschel, and this is episode 154. Today, I have Lisa Woodruff joining us. She's a professional organizer and a productivity specialist. She's also the author of The Mindset Organization, Take Back Your House One Phase at a Time. Lisa, I am super excited you are here. I know you believe that organization is just not a skill you're born with. It's something that can be developed, which is exciting for many of my listeners because they're going, I just can't do this. So welcome to the show. So happy to have you here.
Thank you so much. I've been listening to your podcast and I know you are a super organized person, but that doesn't come naturally for everyone. So I thought maybe some of your audience might like to know how you got so organized and some tips they could use to do the same.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is I don't think I would be naturally organized. My mom would probably tell you that I was not like a clean kid growing up or anything. But what I like about it is when I start to dive into something and learn it, I get obsessed with it. So I'm so excited to talk to you because I want to learn more tips. Like I can't wait to get even more organized because I know it slows you down if you have all of this clutter and everything else. And we want to be productive. So tell me a little bit more of how you got to be a professional organizer, how you started your business. Let's dive into your backstory before we jump into some real strategies.
Well, like anyone who's building their empire, usually what you are best at, you don't even realize that you're doing or that other people can't do. So for the first 40 years of my life, I was a teacher in direct sales, a lot of different skills. But when I turned 40, I've always been an entrepreneur at heart. I was like, what is the business I can create and sink my teeth into and literally talk about every single day for the rest of my life? And when I looked at every job I had had up until that point, I was successful because I either was organized or I organized somebody or I put in a system that helped with organization. Yeah. So I decided being organized was the thing that was unique to me in every skill set. So I launched the blog Organize 365 in January 2012 and thought I would sell organizing products. But within a couple of months, you know, people were saying, well, obviously we want to know what a professional organizer has to say about that. And I had never called myself a professional organizer. Mm-hmm. Even though people were paying me to organize their house, like I didn't realize that's what I was. And as soon as I knew that's what I was, like it was like the sky was the limit because then I could really run with that title.
Got it. So tell us about how you're monetizing this. Like what does the blog look like today? What does this business look like?
So I have multiple revenue streams. The blog itself does not make money, but if I didn't have the blog, then I wouldn't have like a home base for everything.
Yeah.
So we have a team of people in Cincinnati that will come in and physically organize your homes. Mm-hmm. And I still make custom photo albums for people who want them.
Wow. Okay.
And then I have a podcast where I have advertising on the podcast. And then I have programs. So the 100-day home organization challenge is $297. It's lifetime membership. And it guides you through organizing your home. Because what I realized was people didn't know how to get organized.
I know.
And they need the step-by-step how-to. And when it's free, because I've had free programs, they kind of do it. Yeah. But when they pay for it, they really do it. And then they listen and they ask questions and they're very, very successful.
Yeah, it's so funny. I 100% agree with you. I came in the space with an online course that was free. I was going to just beta test it. I was so excited. All these people register and nobody did it. And I was like, what's going on? Like, what? This is a great program. And then I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to do it again, but I'm going to sell it. And I had this crazy successful launch, like amazing testimonials, because you're right, they paid for it. So then they knew that they wanted to be accountable to it because they put money into it. So I 100% believe you. The free stuff is great, but when you pay, you want to get your money back. All right, great. So I'm loving this. So let's talk a little bit about, and maybe I should explain this. So why did I even want to have you on the show? For me, it was because some people are probably thinking, why are we talking about this? I need to make sure that I'm as organized as I can possibly be so that I'm as productive as I can in my day, right? So that might mean completely personal, like the mail coming in and getting all over the place, or, you know, but maybe there's a business bill also in there too. So there's just so many things that we need to be making sure that we are not taking up too much time looking for stuff because we're so unorganized. So let me kind of ask you a couple specific questions on this. Tell me like the biggest thing that you see that people are doing that would be a really easy fix. Like, so let's just start small versus like the whole shebang.
So I'm going to touch on the productivity piece.
Okay, definitely.
What I see, especially for entrepreneurs, which we all are, if you're watching this, that's why you're watching this, is that your ability to be organized and productive caps your income. If you are not organized and you're looking for things, you lose time, you lose momentum, and it caps where you can grow in your income. So people will go to productivity podcasts or make better lists or download apps in order to be productive. And it finally occurred to me why people can't get productive is because they aren't organized. So it starts with decluttering. You always have to declutter, whether you're doing your calendar, electronics, your business, your house. Declutter the space. Then you need to put in organizers so that everything has a home and you know where to put things back so that you can maintain it. It isn't until you're to that point that you can actually be productive. And it's in every area. Like if you organize your kitchen, you declutter and you organize your kitchen, then you can be productive in your meal planning and your grocery list. But you can't be productive in your meal planning, your grocery list if your kitchen is a hot mess. And the same is true in your business. So tackle one area at a time. Step one is declutter. Step two is organize. Step three is increase productivity. And then go to the next phase. People want to do it in a weekend. They want to declutter their whole life in a day. You did not get into this mess overnight. You're not out of it overnight. And it's all about building better habits. And that takes time. So knowing that you're going to be investing time for a couple of years, and then you will have so much extra time, you'll be able to do so much.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things that I like to do, so let's say I'm listening to this and I'm just at home, I'm listening in my kitchen. I will listen and declutter while I'm doing that, right? I always try to do something while I'm just listening. So it's not like you have to spend a whole weekend or clear your entire day. If you're already doing something like this, maybe you're even just watching TV at the end of the night, go to your nightstand and start cleaning that out. So I'm always about how can I multitask when it's not something super important? Like it's not my creativity zone and I'm creating something. It's more of, you know, it's for fun or something like that. So I think that's such a great idea to start with just the decluttering alone. So how do we declutter? Are we throwing it away? Are we giving it away? A combination?
So the big thing is to complete the decluttering process. Don't like just cull your closet and then leave a pile somewhere else in your house. And the number one thing I find that people run into is they paid good money for whatever it is they're decluttering, and they're mad at themselves because they spent this money and they didn't wear it or whatever. And so they hold on to it, like just so that they can torment themselves with the guilt. I'm like, don't do that. So if you want to sell it, if you have a closed consignment store, go see if they'll take it. Yeah. But what I suggest now is to just ship it all out. Take the last Amazon box you got, pack it up. There's a new promotion now where Amazon will pay for it to go straight to Goodwill. You don't even have
to. Wow, I did not know that.
They launched that over Christmas. I don't know if it's still going on, but yeah, you could check into that. Swap.com is an online consignment store. ThreadUp.com. Any of these places that you shop online also need your items. So box it up, get it out. Put it straight in the car, take it to Goodwill, put it in the trash can. Like at the end of your decluttering session, take all the bags to the garage if it's trash or the car if it's donations so that it sits in your car and you cannot bring it back in the house.
Okay. So what's so funny is I like to declutter all the time because it does kind of creep back up on you or you're in a different space. So one of the things this past summer, I'm like, I'm going to have a big rummage. I'm going to sell all of this stuff. I'm going to make all of this money. The amount of time it took me to prepare for this rummage, I said, I will never, ever again do something like that. I won't. And to me, I would rather just give it to somebody. So with having little ones at home, they're outgrowing their clothes like crazy. So now I have a friend who has a daughter who I just know like she's getting all the hand-me-downs and she just takes everything. And that to me feels so much better than trying to go sell it for pennies and take 2 days of my time to sit there and try to make some money when I could be making real money in my business.
Right, right. Yeah. There's always a trade-off, you know, and you are pinching pennies when you do that. If you're an entrepreneur and you can be increasing your revenue, there is a balance there. You need to decide what is most important that day.
Yeah, definitely. And here's the thing. You might have some larger items that are actually going to bring in money. Okay, great. Go find one of the, there's so many Facebook groups now with local people that will come pick it up. Absolutely. But when you're talking like a dollar here and 50 cents here, you know, if you can be making more money while you're working,
yep,
just let that stuff go.
Exactly.
Okay, great. So, okay. So first of all, so we're giving away, we're donating, we're selling. And that was a really good point because I think I definitely do that. I pull stuff out of my closet and all of a sudden it's sitting in my mudroom or it's sitting by the door to go there, but it's just sitting there. Like I actually don't get rid of it. Yep. Or I put it in the car thinking I'm going to run to Goodwill and then I have to pull it back out of the car because I need to put something else in there. So mm-hmm. Yeah, so actually get rid of it. Okay, that's so great. So now I want to ask you, what is the most common problem of people that declutter? But then it just keeps coming back. Like, why is that happening?
It's because you don't set in organizational systems and go to the level of productivity. Decluttering is like checking your Facebook account. You get an instant high. Great, I got rid of it. I did a great job.
Yeah.
But then if you don't go back and make sure that the system works, then you feel that it's unfinished. And so what you end up doing is decluttering more. And mm-hmm. sometimes you over declutter and then you're like, see, I got rid of things that I needed, but it's because you didn't go to level two. So level two is actually organizing. Look at what you have left. Do you need to rearrange the space? Like when I did our master closet, I swapped where my husband and I stored our clothes because it would make more okay. sense. That's when you do that step. That's when you also look through and you go, okay, I always wear these same clothes, but I only have enough for 3 days and I do laundry once a week. So I'm going to buy more. I'm going to buy two more pairs of pants and three more tops. And that's my uniform that I'm going to wear. So having the things that you need. And then the next step is productivity. So it's making sure that you've arranged the space so it's easy to put things back. And then like you said, at least twice a week, but even, you know, 15 minutes a day, putting everything back where it goes at the end of the day, putting it back in their homes so that it stays organized.
Okay. So I do have a question for you. Sometimes, like right now I can think of this. I have like a million Post-its, like crazy amount of Post-its. I don't even know how I have them. I don't even remember buying them. Maybe somebody gave them to me, but like I would feel guilty throwing them away or doing so. How do I be organized with like this overflow when I know I'm actually going to use them down the road?
Okay, so I want you to think like you have a little office supply store in your house. Mine is in okay. my living room and it's in my grandmother's old desk. Okay. And so that's where all the school supplies and extra office supplies are. So if you want to go to the office supply store, you have to go check there first and see if you already own it. But I only keep, you know, a 1 month supply in my actual little tiny home office in my bedroom. So the oversupply goes there. It's great when you have kids in school. You mm-hmm. realize that you run out of crayons all the time when they're in kindergarten. So then you start buying crayons every single time you go to the store. Next thing you know, you have 24 boxes of crayons. And they don't use any crayons. They only use markers now.
Right.
So once you realize that you don't need glue sticks and crayons anymore, which you feel like you're never not going to need them, and then all of a sudden yeah. you don't need them anymore, bag them up and take them to that elementary school and be like, this is for the kids who forgot. And
okay.
move on to middle school. So also, you could just give those things away. Any office supply stuff, take to your kids' school and just put it in the teacher's lounge and they will love you forever.
That is such a good idea. I never thought about that. And I love having your own little office supply store because I can already think I absolutely have a spot for that in my basement. Like I know exactly where I would put all of that stuff. All right, cool. So before we buy, go check that stash and then we're not going to be okay. That is amazing. All right. So now I want to ask, like, let's say getting even in the mail, right? So I even try to have systems for things like that because all of a sudden I've got bills or letters and I'm like, what needs to be paid? What is a great system for collecting things like that?
So this is what I call organization 101 is okay. setting up a Sunday basket. This is the kitchen counter paper pile that is not going to go away. You think that if I just take some time and get rid of it, I'll be paperless. It's never going to happen, especially if you have kids in school. So you get a basket, a bag, a box, I don't care what it is, whatever matches your decor that you can keep in the kitchen. You have to keep it in the kitchen. And then all of the mail, all of the papers, all of the things to read, all of the correspondence to reply to, the prescription to refill, the household project you bought the doorknob to replace, put the doorknob in the Sunday basket.
Okay.
And then I go through it every Sunday. You can pick a different day, but every Sunday I take everything out of that basket and I touch everything and ask myself, can this wait until next Sunday? If it can wait until next Sunday, it goes back in the basket. I'm delaying, I'm procrastinating on purpose. Okay. But everything that can't, I do as much as possible on Sunday. Fill out the form, pay the bill, fix the doorknob.
I love that.
Fill out the prescription.
How easy too that it's just one day a week.
Yeah.
So much better than doing it every day a bill comes in or something like that.
Yeah, it's batching okay. your household life.
Completely. And yeah. For me, Sunday would be a good day because I feel like I'm so focused on work Monday through Friday. The weekends, there's so much time, and how easy when the kids are playing or doing something to pull that out and quickly get it done.
Yeah. And I want to plan my week on Sunday. Like that's also when I go through my Google Calendar and pull it out on planner sheet. And so I naturally want to plan my week on Sunday. And the kids, you know, you've done your family stuff on Saturday usually. Yeah. And by Sunday afternoon, everybody's doing their own thing anyway.
Yeah. Okay, great. That makes a lot of sense. So you just talked about Google Calendar planning. Let's go into that area. Tell me what you recommend. I love Google Calendar, so I like that you said that. But tell me a little bit more. Is there any paper? Like I want to talk about, like you said, going paperless. It's not going to happen. But is there paper involved to you planning your day?
So as an educator, I've taught everything from 4 years old to eighth grade, every single grade in there. Mm-hmm. And what I learned about most people, especially if they have ADHD, and girls more than boys, really need to write things down with their hand in order to remember it.
Okay.
So the Google Calendar is great because I can see what I have going on and I color code things. So my professional organization girls are a different color than my tasks. So I could see who's doing what when. But then on Sunday, I look at that calendar and I physically write it out on just one. I have a free printable and it just has your 1 week broken down by half an hour segments. Mm-hmm. And you write stuff in there. Now, I don't know about you, but I spend a lot of time in my car. So that's when I write down, okay, these are all the things I have to do. These are all the times I'm going to be in the car getting the kids to all these different things. And then figuring out in there, where do I have those blocks of work? And where can I do my creative work, my follow-up work, my admin work, mm-hmm. and getting that into my life.
Got it. Okay, makes sense. Yeah, I'm not in the car a lot now, but I will be in the future. Like mine are too little to be in that area yet, but they will be soon enough, I'm sure. So, okay, that makes a lot of sense. And yeah, so for me, I use my Google Calendar, but for me, like even this morning, I have back-to-back appointments, I mean, all day. I like to have it on paper. It's sitting right here next to me. So I know, okay, the next appointment I have is at 10 o'clock. I know what I need to do, what I need to prepare for it. So there are papers, but by the end of the day, all of these papers get thrown away. There's nothing I need to keep. So that makes me feel better because there are always these piles of papers somewhere. So it's really nice to just kind of get that away. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Anything that you see, like when you go into somebody's house and you organize, what's usually the worst area?
You know, that is dependent on the person.
Okay.
If the whole entire house is disorganized and they only have, let's say, $1,000 or whatever, and they need us to do it, then we're going to focus on the following four areas because they impact the woman's life the most. We're going to do the kitchen, the master closet, the laundry room, and the home office area, wherever that is, whether that's in her bedroom or a traditional home office or it's just a filing cabinet. Mm-hmm. Those four areas, if they get organized, a woman can maintain those and the kids and husband will not mess them up if I can get her organized in those areas. And then we tackle the rest of the family in the rest of the areas.
Perfect. So now I know you're in Cincinnati, so you're not going to be local to a lot of people, but I'm sure some people are even listening going, I had no idea you could hire somebody to do this.
Yes.
So I know this is not going to be completely relevant, but what would it cost somebody to hire you to come out and organize their entire home or even just those four areas?
So it depends on how long it's been disorganized.
Okay.
And usually when people say they want to get their house organized, they either mean all the living spaces or all of their paper or both. And to organize the paper is almost as expensive to organize the house because you usually have a lot there, especially if you have a home business.
Okay.
So on average, like for our team to do it, it's between $2,000 and $3,000. Okay. We've been doing this for 5 years and we do it in a week. We send a team in and we do it.
Wow. Like just think of that. In one week, your house I can't even imagine. No. So, and that's good to hear too, that it would be all different levels because I don't know if it would pay for me to do it when my house is actually pretty organized. They would come in and be like, you're my best client I've ever had because I'm that organized, but I still feel like there are things that I could get better at, right?
And so, it's setting up the systems, you know, like, cause you have girls, right?
Yes.
Two girls, right? Okay. So as they get older, as they start to go to middle school, you're going to need new systems. So a lot of times a professional organizer will change how you're using your kitchen. Okay. And I teach kids that their bedrooms are their mini apartments. So starting to teach the kids how to get organized, and we can work just with children as well.
Oh, I love that. Love that. And why would you not want to instill those habits in your children?
Yeah.
Completely. Okay, great. So obviously pricing is totally off for some people, but it gives them an idea of
right.
maybe I should be looking into this. Do I spend the money? Do I not? So now my question would be though, when you bring somebody into your home with papers and things like that, how do you know that they're going to be able to help you get this? I mean, because I'm just thinking of my mess of all of these things that I've got going on. How do you help with something that detailed?
So on our team, you know, you can learn a lot about me through the blog and podcast and pretty much figure out how I'm doing it. And as your professional organizer over time, you realize that for you, you see your paper, 100 pieces of paper as 100 pieces of paper. I see it as 5 different categories. Mm. So I send out a paper survey that has 15 questions and I can organize 90% of your paper without asking a single question.
Wow. That's
and people crazy. Actually just ship it to me and I do it here and then I can scan it or ship it back. So we can organize your paper and we almost always organize it offsite. We just load it all up into our car and I do it here.
Cool. And so I love that. So tell me though, what should we be doing paperless versus we need to keep this?
So I think, you know, it depends on how old you are. So I was raised in the 80s and everything was paper-based. We didn't really have computers. So yeah. I'm always going to have more paper than a millennial will because I still don't kind of understand digital. And I'm very tactile and I'm very visual. I have a photographic memory. And so if I could see it on paper, I can memorize the paper. But on a computer, I can't. So I print out stuff all the time. And then as I realize I'm done with it, that's when I get rid of it. And I'm down to very few files that I keep at all.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, everything's so searchable now. We really don't have to keep very much. And it's your comfort level of being able to access things online allow you to get rid of papers. So it's an individual process, but really almost always 80% of the paper you have, we get rid of when we organize for you.
Yeah. One of the big things that I learned that I was surprised about was you can get rid of manuals. So that to me, I had a drawer filled with manuals, like the dishwasher. And I have a new house. So, I mean, when I got into the house, there was a manual for everything, right? So I had like this huge bin. I told my husband and he was like, there's no way. Like, we cannot get rid of this. And the dishwasher broke. And I said, all right, you go find it. And I'm going to find it online. And I found it just as quick as he did. But he was like running to go get this and searching, making a mess. And it popped up very easily.
Okay, so you wanted the manual, but here's my point. Most of the people that keep the manual, when the dishwasher breaks, they call somebody. Like, I'm never going to get out a manual and fix my own dishwasher.
That's a good point. My husband is pretty handy, and he's just like, I'll take care of it. So he wants these, but we can find them online. Yeah, makes sense. That's a really good point, though, because I know a lot of people that their husband would not be able to do that, so why would they keep it in the first place? 100.
Right.
Yeah. We own rental property. So I feel like he has learned a lot of things with that. So it's a lot easier for him. Okay, great. Well, this has been so much fun. Tell me one last thing before we go, maybe a piece of advice to somebody listening. If they're thinking about this, should they be wasting their time on this? Anything that you want to share? Let's kind of wrap up here.
So the one message I really want women to hear is that it doesn't matter if you were born organized or not organized. Mm-hmm. Everyone can be organized. It is a teachable, learnable skill. And you go through 4 phases in life. You know, when you live at home, you're in your childhood bedroom. In your 20s and 30s, you accumulated a lot of stuff. In your 40s and 50s, you're in survival. And 60 plus, you're in downsizing and legacy. And each phase of life mm-hmm. has a different organizational requirement. And you will get disorganized as you transition into that phase. There's nothing wrong with you. It's totally normal. Just relook at your systems, declutter again, organize again, and you'll get back to that productivity that you had in the last phase of life.
So amazing. Thank you so much for being here. Tell us where we can find the blog, find more about you, all of that stuff.
So I am Organize 365 everywhere. If you go to organize365.com, that is the website, and Organize 365 is the name of the podcast as well.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for being here. This has been so wonderful, and I'm like excited to already quickly go do something else and organize it. So thank you so much, Lisa.
Thanks, Stacey.
And before you go, I want to thank one of our sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is my go-to audiobook of choice, and I listen to my Audible app every day. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to check out their services. To download your free audiobook, go to audibletrial.com/herempire. Again, that's audibletrial.com/herempire for your free trial today. We appreciate you joining us for this episode of She's Building Her Empire. Be sure to join the free Facebook community at shesbuildingherempire.club. For more free content, videos, and rock solid business advice to build your purposeful business and take it to the next level, please visit shesbuildingherempire.com. We look forward to helping you build your empire, create an everlasting impact, and live the life of your dreams. Until next time.